Hello everybody, I'm George from Mind. So come back to my channel. Thank you for returning. This is talking about Andy Burnham's educational policy for South Britain, because Mr. Burnham became Prime Minister only about 10 days ago now. So he's hit the ground running. Much though I revile him, he's an absolute ogre. He has had a successful start. He's got better communication skills, much greater emotional intelligence than Keir Starmer, or right, anybody would do. But, you know, he's a consummate politician, very seasoned campaigner. But he's been a full-time politician since 2001, and he worked in politics for about 5 years before that. One of the problems about him, he's only ever done a job outside politics for 3 years. But that aside, back to this about education. And he correctly said that Tony Blair's government, of which he was a cabinet minister, was wrong to say that 50% of youngsters should go to university. And this is an imbecilic policy that was persisted with by Boris Johnson. He used to castigate Blair, and that figure was touched 50%. It's a bit down now, like 45%. Okay, and obviously, how are we going to pay for this? Then university fees came in, they went higher and higher. They're £10,000 per annum, that's nowhere near enough. The government estimates a great majority of that will never be repaid. I mean, some people will pay some of their fees, or most of their fees, but not all of them. Not many will pay the whole lot. Some very highly educated people will just take their skills and leave the country, and there's nothing you can do to get them to repay. You can send them scary letters, but they can just shrug it off. They just emigrate. But Burnham rightly said that that was a really a recipe for disaster. And obviously, we don't need armies of graduates in cultural studies and media studies and fine art or even history. In any other organization, you'd have a needs assessment. What skill do we need to build? We need more people able to do whatever. We need how many people qualified in each year to do whatever it is, and then do it accordingly rather than have the sort of free for all, this free market approach. And there is some sense of the free market approach. Where universities are not just induced to accept students, however slender the evidence, their academic ability and so on, and then saddle them with debt. So he said that they've got to be learning, you know, technical subjects. But this is not new. Conservatives had plans like this since the early David Cameron years. So really, he's reheating this with the so-called T levels, like technical levels that Philip Hammond announced perhaps 10 years ago. There's been BTEC for a long time, which is a technical alternative to A level. So if you don't want traditional book learning, not reading and writing, or not, you know, doing things that are strictly mathematical, not things that are so theoretical, more practical, manual work. Okay. So people will be able to do manufacturing, there'll be greater artificial intelligence in school and so on. So from year 10, that's people start year 10, usually the age of 14, they turn 15 during the school year, most cases, they will be connected to industries and businesses nearby the school, and allow them to give them a pathway and work. I know in the Republic of Ireland, in the 50s and 60s, there was the one day, people had to go to school one day a week, and then 4 days a week go to their job or whatever. Remember, most people left school then at sort of 15 without any qualifications. So that's it, because there are over a million NEETs people not in employment, education, or training. And that is a shocking statistic. It was very bad in the early David Cameron years. Well, partly because we make it too easy for the benefits. We say, no benefits, you'll work or starve. Tough. Get off your ass and find a job. You have to make getting a job, do 40 hours a week. How many applications could you do in that time? I do take the Norman Tebbit attitude to this. Norman Tebbit, Conservative Employment Secretary of the 1980s, saying, I grew up in the 1930s with an unemployed father. He didn't riot. He got on his bike and he looked for work, and he didn't stop looking till he found work. So that's it. And so we should just stop being overly sympathetic and no slobbing around your bedroom playing computer games. You get no money for that. Okay, so we don't know the particulars about all these vocational courses that are going to come out, but this has been welcomed really across the political spectrum. Now, one that's a bit more contentious is that parents are going to get £4,500 in some cases if their children want to do an apprenticeship, because if their child did the apprenticeship, you know, the person that they would lose child benefit. Child benefit is something like £5 a day per child, first child, second child. Child being up to the age of 18, which you might say is preposterous. There's an intermediate stage, which is adolescent. So at the age of 13 to 17, someone's not really a child. Anyway, so the Prime Minister, he announced a scheme whilst visiting a place in Derby that makes trains. And he said the following, we've had a system built for too long around your university route, and it sends a message to young people that they're some kind of second-class citizens, and it's just not right. They need an education system that works for them, that offers a path to all young people that's balanced between academic and technical. Close quotation. Okay, this is not novel, but it is a good idea. And I realize that university is not for everyone. you know, 50% is way too high, 45% is way too high. When I began university in the late 90s, was there like 25% of youngsters went to university. But we've got a stage we're calling practically all post-18 education university, like the Royal Agricultural College in Cirencester is now being raised to university status. I blame John Major, completely uneducated man, who renamed all the polytechnics universities. And he increased the number of universities in the UK from 40 to 80 overnight. They're now about 160, which is preposterous, and some of them are going to go to the wall. But nobody's talking about saving them. It's just unaffordable. Some of them should go to the wall. If you're going to be a business, well, the business model is, if you are not good enough, you go under. And if you're going to die, we'll let you die. That's it. So the strong can succeed, the weak are going to die. And the trouble is, some cities have developed their economic strategy around having university, bringing in students, particularly from overseas, to spend money. This creates jobs, yes, amongst the lecturers, but the cleaners and the cooks and the security guards and the whatever. And if that university goes down, the town goes down. Liverpool's got three universities, and it doesn't need that many. The University of Durham, a very serious percentage of the city either studies the university or works for it. Something like 30% of the population. And then others are ancillary because the shopkeepers, the restaurateurs, the publicans, the taxi drivers, a lot of them get so much of their trade from people who are at the university, either as students or as employees. Now, Durham is not in serious danger of going down. So this overexpansion, the bubble bursts. But people are saying for years, maybe it's finally happening. So this neat one thing has got to be tough love. No benefits, that's it. One of my other bright ideas is these people have to go for a medical with the armed forces. And if their armed forces consider them physically, mentally fit, you join today. And if you don't, you will lose all benefits, every single last penny. That's it. You know, we do not have a duty to pay for people who refuse to pay for themselves. Okay? And lower the burden on those who are actually working. No more slobbing around, no more taxis to and from college because you can't get on the bus for psychological reasons. Yes, you can. Your life depends on it, you'll do it. So we'll make sure your life depends on it. Okay, so I mean, he's looking at the Netherlands being relatively successful about this. But the conservative spokeswoman of this issue, Helen Whateley, speaking about work and pensions, she says, yes, of course, we need to improve vocational education. And the trouble is, you know, university is mainly about learning, not earning, and people confuse that with job training and so on. But she points out that there's not enough jobs for people trying to start their careers, partly because of the tax on jobs, putting a national insurance up, partly because of employment law, some of these rights kicking in from day one, making it almost impossible to employ people, such a burden. Anyone feels they don't feel like doing it, don't enjoy doing it, well, then they don't have to do it. They can sue their employers to kingdom come for this or that. If anybody cracks a joke, if anyone compliments anyone, if anyone asks anyone on a date, that's sexual harassment. It's all the employer's fault. If someone tries to kiss someone on the mistletoe at the Christmas party, that's a work event. If they go to the pub after work, that's a work. I mean, how do you guard against this? Taking away banter and flirtation and so on. Sexual harassment is a real thing. We set the bar way too low. Okay, so, you know, Labour's obviously destroyed millions of jobs for all these people. So in the peak year, about 2021, ironically, coronavirus, about 700,000 16 to 24-year-olds were not in employment, education, or training. That is obviously still scandalous. It's a damning indictment of the last Conservative government. So anyway, these pupils do these training schemes. They still have to do English, mathematics, and science, but they could do some technical education with it because most people aren't academic. There's been this ridiculous idea that everybody's academic. It's all been about quantity, not quality, keeping as many people in education for as long as possible. It's been fundamentally a wrong-headed approach. The United Kingdom is in the wrong direction for so long, great inflation. So university should be for a small elite. I mean, 20%, if that, and so forth. Okay, so now the government has reduced the gap between minimum wage because there's a certain minimum wage at 16, one at 18, one at 21, you get the full level. And the one thing about to hire young people is they were cheaper. Obviously, every time you hire someone, it's a bit of a risk. What if he, she turns out to be cataclysmic? Other things is like Alan Greenspan said in the late 90s, who was the chairman of the US Federal Reserve, if they can't fire, they won't hire. We want to be able to get rid of people easily, quickly, if they turn out to be unsuitable, and so on. So an apprenticeship levy is going to be paid by employers, and that's going to be used by other businesses to fund these apprenticeship training program. Okay, so the Association of School and College Lecturers has mostly applauded this, but you know, it's just reheating old conservative policies. And even Sakir said vocational training should be valued as much as a university degree. Okay, but you know, these people do 6 months apprenticeship, they're out earning straight away. So I think what a chump I was to, you know, spend so much money, so many years on degrees, which earn me not very much in many cases. But that's it, I didn't do it primarily for money. So getting A levels, T levels, and T levels, they came in 2020, about health, about agriculture, about construction. There were V levels, vocational courses, and so forth. All right, so you can mix and match A levels and the other ones. So there we go. I mean, obviously, some people are unsuitable in school, and they're obviously very disruptive. So yeah, sure, get them out. Why not go back to the old grammar school system? Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgekind7@gmail.com. Goodbye.